Mr. Brady, why don't you stay up front as the witnesses come forward, and if you would like to direct them, ask questions, or you can let them make statements, whichever you prefer. I would simply point out, since we do have from your witness list quite a few people, as we will probably have quite a few on the opposition. Again, I'd reiterate that we do not want to repeat information that's already been given in record. Thank you. If you give us your full name and address, please.
My name is Samuel R. Schlegel, Sr. I reside at 19833 Summer Place, Milton, Delaware. I recently moved in with Charles Williams. I've known Charles Williams for the past 10 years. In some unfortunate events in my own personal life a few weeks ago, I was in need of a place to live, and Charles has allowed me to move in there free of charge to put my life back together. I've known Charles for a long time. I was around when they built this building. I've known him for years. As I'm sure you well know, in my opinion, this comes down to property rights and freedom. Our society oftentimes eschews freedom, thinking that in our freedom we can do whatever we want. But freedom, in my opinion, is not the the ability to do whatever you want. It has much to do with what you restrain yourself from doing. And the reason I bring that up is we go back to property rights. When we come back to property rights.
It is out in the hall.
Yeah. You can hear it all over the place. On the internet. People sitting home can hear it.
As this comes back to property rights, we live in a county that is very in tune with business, even though Mr. Williams' stated goal is not to have a business. He wants to provide a ministry to help others and fellowship with his friends. He is not out there to make money. He is out there to be a benefit to the community, okay? Quality of life, I would imagine that you look at quality of life when you look at these things. How is this going to affect the quality of life that's going on in this area? Charles Williams adds to the quality of life in this area. He gives of himself freely to anybody, even people that are condemning him and coming against him. He does not waver. He stays his course, okay? I heard mentioned a little bit earlier that you were talking about the easement and the right-of-way. I'm a little bit familiar with some right-of-ways, being that I work for a company that has a lot of them. Right-of-ways, it seems to me that there is a way to work with those things, because I know of many commercial uses going through right-of-ways where are going through residential communities and has as many vehicles going up and down a gravel road through a community, not a paved road, okay? I know of it through other utilities. The power company has right-of-ways. They don't own every speck of piece of land that they own. They have right-of-ways, and people go through them, and there's a way to work together. Again, I would come back to what adds quality of life, and the fact that, you know, in this neighborhood, it could be very conceivable that the neighbor would want to subdivide their property, okay? I have the freedom to respect that right of theirs to subdivide, just like they have the freedom to respect the right for Charles Williams to be able to fellowship with his friends in his garage, okay? We hold dearly in this county to our property rights. I urge you to grant this petition, because it is a property right issue, and it is not an infringement or takes away from the quality of life in this area.
Are you saying it's a church?
No, I'm not saying it's a church. I'm saying that Mr. Williams strives to do good to everyone. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Brady, your next witness. And I would remind witnesses, too, we're discussing a conditional use application. This is not regards the character of any of the persons, and this is not about whether someone's a good character or bad character. We're looking at the property use issue. Sir, full name and address, please.
My name is Jim Gromis. I live at 54 Henry Lane, Milford. I've been friends with Charles for about 7 years. I've used his shop many, many times. I got a vehicle there right now that's broke down. You know, we don't exchange any money or anything like that. Charles is, you know, his disability. I go there, I help him whenever I can. He helps me. You know, I don't know what else to say, but he's a good guy, and I hope you guys would grant him conditional use. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next person.
I'll go in the back. They're setting him up when one comes back.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Council. My name's Chris Bennett. I live at 23738 Heavens Walkway in Georgetown, Delaware, just a few miles from the subject at hand. I'm a mechanic. I had to leave work. Excuse my appearance. I've been over to this shop many, many times. If I had to take an average, it's a couple times a month. I've never seen anyone speed up this short driveway. It's only a couple hundred feet long. I understand the neighbors' concerns. I've heard it said that it would increase traffic flow on the main road. I'm up and down that main road all the time, and I don't see any changes and cannot foresee any changes in increase to traffic flow. And there was an issue brought up about the air compressor and the noise level of that air compressor. Well, I've been standing in that shop holding a conversation with Charles and with others, and you do not have to elevate your voice very much above normal tone when that compressor is running. The fact that it would disturb horses and so forth, I don't see how it's possible. I work in an environment where it's a noisy situation. You have to wear earring protection and so forth, and that just doesn't exist over in that shop. I've never seen anyone back onto neighbors' properties or abuse neighbors' properties. I just don't see any reason for this conditional usage to not be granted. First thing with this driveway and the right-of-way and so forth, if the conditional use goes through, in my opinion, it'll cut traffic flow down on that right-of-way driveway, you know, because it'll be restricted on how many vehicles or how many friends can come over at any given time. Right now it's unlimited. I have seen as many as three or four vehicles in his shop being worked on at one time. Can't get much more than that in there. Just no room to move around. Charles takes pride in his shop. The epoxy floor, there's no chemicals or gasoline stored there or oil spilled on the floor. It just doesn't happen. There is, I don't see any reason. I have seen his storage containment facility for used oils and so forth, and it's more than adequate. And I've been in facilities that have less adequate storage containment facilities for oils and lubricants and so forth than what Charles has. That's about all I have to say. Noise level, traffic, it's not an issue over here.
It's basically a well-paved road, but it's one car road, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Charles does have adequate space, stone paved areas where vehicles can turn around.
Turn around, I got it. Got it.
And okay. Can maneuver without problems.
Good. Thank you. Your next witness, please.
One more.
There's several more on the list.
Okay. Oh, okay.
My name's Steve Scarfo. I live on Martin's Farm Road, approximately four houses down from Charles. As far as noise, there is no noise. A lawnmower is louder than what Charles does in his shop. I think Charles a good asset on that road. He'll help anybody and everybody, even people that's throwing him under the bus. He'll help them. If they are broke down, he will get them up and running. He'll let them use his shop, no money exchanged. I personally went down there. Charles walked me through how to fix my car. No money exchanged. I just think he's a good asset on our road. That's all I had to say.
Thank you. Next person, please. And I see a couple more on your list. Won't they come forward so they'd be right ready to go?
Hello, my name is Joe Harris. I live on 27429 Martin Farm Road, which is about five houses down from where this proposed garage is going to be. Personally, I do not see any reason why it should not be granted for him. I do not think he's trying to open a Jiffy Lube. I think he's just trying to run a small repair shop, and I have no problems with it, and that's all.
Okay, thank you. Next, sir.
My name is Bruce Hayes. I live at 19622 Shelby Lane, and I'm the only one on the road that has conditional license. You granted me my small engine repair shop a while back. And if he wants to have a business on the road, if he comes up before you, like I had to, I don't see any problem. He doesn't want, like I said, Joey said, he doesn't want to have a Jiffy Lube. He wants to help his friends. And I have no problem with it at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any questions of counsel of Mr. Brady or any of the witnesses to this point?
Well, I'll just ask you a question, and Mr. Brady, if he wants to chime in. There is still, even if we grant a conditional use and we limit it to a certain number of vehicles, there's still nothing to prevent Mr. Williams here to bring his own personal vehicles in and out. So there's no way.
Right.
And friends or whatever. In other words, what I'm pointing out is that, as we've seen in other applications, the difficulty it is into counting cars and putting these kind of restrictions on. So we could restrict a certain number of cars, but then there's another type of vehicle coming in that we would not be able to restrict. It would be very difficult for anybody to figure out what's what, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that's right.
Okay.
We're not restricting anything other than.
Okay, you've indicated you had no additional witnesses. Are there any other persons here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of the application? If not, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Never win.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Seth Thompson. I'm an attorney with Sergovic, Carmine & Weidman. That's 142 East Market Street here in Georgetown. My client is Margaret Folk. And I really appreciate Mr. Moore's comment earlier that this isn't some sort of referendum on anybody's character, whether it's good or bad. I have somewhat of a benefit of coming into the matter a little bit into the process, so I get to review the matter with a little bit more distance, if you will. And really, I view it as not appropriate under the law in terms of granting this conditional use. And I'll just, if you bear with me, I'll walk you through my reasons for that. Number one, as you're all well aware, the purpose of conditional uses is identified in the county council, in the county code, and it's supposed to be for a public or semi-public use of that character and essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. The one, you're all well aware of that, I'm certain. The one item I want to point out about our county code when it references the purpose of conditional uses is that it specifically says that it needs to look at the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan. So moving from the general purpose of the conditional use, here we're under 115-22 for the AR1, because that's where we are, and we're under the catch-all conditional use of a commercial use. And there, the standard is when the purposes of this chapter are more fully met by issuing the conditional use permit. So basically, walking through the legal argument, we would need to look at the purpose, both the general purpose of the zoning code, and then the purposes in terms of AR1 and AR2. So I just want to identify a few of the matters that I think necessitate denying this application. Number one, in the 2008 County Comprehensive Plan update, in your future land use, it specifically identifies auto repair as a more intense commercial use that should be avoided, and that's the term that's used in your comprehensive plan, avoided in low-density rural areas, and that's what we have at present. So it needs to be in compliance and in accordance with the approved comprehensive development plan. I think it's pretty, in my mind, I read that to say that granting this conditional use is a would not be permissible under the comprehensive plan. And indeed, it makes it much easier given the fact that the comprehensive plan actually references auto repair. You're not, it's simply a suggestion, but that you're much better off than in the case where it just said heavier industrial uses or heavier commercial uses. Here, it specifically identifies auto repair. And just for reference, that's on pages 3-17 through 3-19.
Well, is auto repair included in B1, for instance?
It is. Well, auto, I believe it was filling station. I don't know if...
Oh, no repair?
Mm-hmm. And don't quote me on that. It's certainly in C1.
Could you clarify that real quick?
Business, is there an auto repair under
it's permitted
B1?
In
it's permitted.
It would
in
be
B1.
Permitted.
Okay.
That's called a neighborhood business, right?
Mm-hmm. But here we're dealing with AR1, which is obviously your more restrictive element. And again, the comprehensive plan specifically says that heavier uses, including auto repair, more intense uses, I should say, is the terminology, should be avoided in low-density rural areas. So turning to the second issue, we have to look at the purpose of promoting the health, safety, morale, convenience, order, prosperity, or welfare of the present and future inhabitants of the county. And then one of the very first factors is the lessening of congestion in the streets or roads. Your DLDOT report indicates that overall traffic's going to increase 40%. Now that doesn't mean that they're requiring an impact study, but the numbers do indicate on the report that overall it's gonna go up 40%, and it's gonna go up 6 times in their estimation in the morning hours. So when you look at lessening the congestion, we're doing the opposite here. The other element that's, I think, important, the Martins Farm Road has multiple curves that aren't conducive to towing vehicles. And I do have some pictures, if it pleases the council, some illustrative pictures. Can I make a copy for Mr. Brady?
Okay. Give it to him later.
I should have made 2 extra for council.
I got one for Mr. the President.
So the initial pictures demonstrate some of the curves that we're discussing here. And when it comes to towing vehicles, that creates a concern. We already heard some testimony that this is an accident-prone area as it stands. So again, you're increasing traffic at an area that's seemingly already accident-prone. There was a lot of discussion in terms of the easement as well. When it comes to the easement, you'll note, and this is included in the packet, the survey of the easement. It should be toward the back, I believe the second to last page, maybe third to last. It says typical residential access, that when the easement was initially put in, it was contemplated as a residential access. Here we're greatly increasing that use by having multiple vehicles 6 days a week come through, in addition to any friends or any other non-business purposes. So it's a concern. The other element in terms of the congestion on the streets, we're talking about a parcel that's smaller than the other parcels that are around it. And so whereas the other parcels are typically about 5 acres or maybe a little bit larger, we're dealing with a smaller parcel, which means the house that the easement that is on the property that's burdened by the easement is seemingly fairly close to that road. In terms of your pictures as well, there is a picture that demonstrates that at least one person ran off the road already into the grass, and it is a single lane road here. Turning to other factors in your code to consider whether or not to grant a conditional use is securing safety for fire, flood, and other dangers. There was some discussion in terms of noise, and I think there was an attempt to say, well, this noise won't be any louder than other noises. The problem here is consistency of the noise, that we're talking about 6 days a week, regular business hours at least, and again, that's just for the commercial enterprise of it. That's not the personal enterprise of it. So again, consistency, that's a problem. The noise and the traffic, due to the size of this parcel, it becomes a problem. The horses seemingly act as an attractive nuisance potentially for customers. You have horses a few yards away.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Hasn't he been using it in that regard for quite some time? And how long has it? I mean, he's had it, the pole, he built it in 07, is that correct?
I believe 07 was what he said.
And he's been having friends come in and out, and all of a sudden there's been a change in the usage. And when was that? How long has that gone on? I'm just curious about the timing.
Well, I think I didn't mean to interrupt. I think the concern is that when you allow the business use, it seemingly opens the floodgates. Because if you look specifically at the conditions that
I'm asking about the history. When did trouble start?
When did trouble start?
When did people start? When did it become a problem?
I guess I tried to focus my efforts on whether or not this actual conditional use should be granted based on the factors and based on what could come versus, you know, the issues of the past.
I'm looking at that. Sure.
So.
Okay, well.
I think it's a fair question, Judge. I really do.
And I can have my client address the history. I'm not sure if the council wants those issues specifically addressed.
Why don't you go ahead with your presentation, then part of your question, when your witness testifies, they can address that.
Terrific. Thank you. In terms of additional factors, providing adequate air and light, if we looked at the B1 district by way of comparison, there would presumably be some sort of condition along the lines of a solid fence at least 6 feet tall along all properties bordering residential. Here, that's all four sides, because this is essentially a landlocked parcel with the easement for access. You know, it's very different than if this parcel were on Martin's Farm Road, where at most you could then have three sides bordered on residential. Here, it's smack dab in the middle of residential on all four sides. the problem with installing the fences, it somewhat breaks up the air and light in what is otherwise an agricultural and residential, at least zoned area. I understand there's been some testimony in terms of at least one conditional use down the road. I would note on that specific item, though, in terms of the traffic concerns of a small engine repair shop or the noise, that strikes me as a very different animal than a multi-bay pole barn auto repair garage with trucks coming in with parts, with additional customers. If you look at the conditions that are proposed, it says no more than two cars would be serviced at a time. That doesn't mean two cars will be serviced each day as a maximum. If you just consider an oil change business, and I know that we've heard promises this won't be a Jiffy Lube, but of course, once it's approved, that's what it is. That's what the person can use it for. So here, if you just factor in two cars, an hour to change the oil, I believe the request was for 10 hours a day, if I'm reading the conditions right, 9 to 7, you're talking about a lot of traffic going through on a weekly basis. You're talking about 120 cars. In terms of another factor, preventing on one hand excessive concentration of population, and on the other hand, avoiding excessive and wasteful scattering. Again, this is a parcel it's smaller than the other ones that are around it. There's already been some allegations of acts of vandalism due to increased traffic. Now, I understand that's what's going on now in terms of a personal use. I think the problem is as you increase the business use, and there have been statements saying that this is really just putting a legal gloss, I hope I'm not mischaracterizing that, but legal gloss on what people want to do in terms of getting together with friends. But once it's granted, that person's able to operate that auto repair shop. It might be a part-time mechanic now, but next week it might not be. So, in terms of the size of the parcel, returning to that, there was a proposal with regard to tree buffering. The problem there is you have septic fields, and that's noted on the very last picture. You have the neighboring property's septic fields that are close to the property. So trying to use some natural buffering instead of fencing is going to pose a problem when it comes to these residences around the area. The code also looks to promoting a distribution of population and classification of land as would tend to facilitate transportation. Again, we've talked about that. public requirements. Here, we're on a smaller road, and it becomes a commercial enterprise that doesn't have a public bathroom, for instance. I think that demonstrates how this is a little bit of a misconceived notion. The applicant has already received the okay from planning and zoning to continue doing what he's doing, but he's looking for something a little bit beyond that to make money. And if that weren't the case, then we wouldn't be here, because frankly, the planning and zoning opinion was that he didn't need anything beyond that. So the letter, as far as the other items to consider, a significant one in your code is protection of the tax base. And the record reflects multiple letters from realtors that are opining that the surrounding property values are going to be hurt by this. And if you think about it, it does make sense. The immediate properties, especially the one that's burned with that easement that now has cars, potentially 120 extra cars, customer cars, going up and down that driveway every week, somebody's going to be less inclined to pay a lot of money for that property. And my client has the same concern in terms of her proximity because of the shape of that parcel. Her horses back up to that property. So based on all this, we believe that the application fails to comply with the county code. The county code mirrors the language in state code Title IX, Section 6904. We think it's not in compliance with that, and we think it's not in compliance with the comprehensive plan. I know there were questions in terms of the history of the property here. I just wanted to give you kind of my legal analysis. But I'd be happy to have my client come up and testify in terms of any direct issues that she's had over the years with the use of the property. But I'll answer any questions about...
Well, you've heard our conversation about the easement. Do you have any legal expertise before our staff is researching it? But do you have any thoughts on...
And it's
on the use of a private easement which the applicant does not own?
And it's interesting, I represent a few municipalities, so we do run into DLDOT, and occasionally DLDOT requires something a little bit more than what you actually have, which in this scenario could be a problem, since the easement is only so wide, that if they decide, well, we need to put a wider entrance, I don't think the private property owner, where the easement doesn't exist, could be burdened with that additional item. The other element that you have is, and again, not doing the research, I'm just going off the cuff, but the other element you have is certainly the right-of-way, the burdened property can't interfere with that person's right to ingress and egress. I don't know if that person necessarily needs to allow them to macadam the item or put anything else. It could just be limited to the right to ingress and egress. For instance, and I don't know why somebody would do this, but you could have a scenario where the applicant paves the road, but the property owner then tears it up. I'm not so sure that would be some violation of the easement, because again, it's just ingress and egress. I mean, it's kind of a thicket bush.
I do have a specific question concerning the right-of-way and easement. You referenced a plot that referred to a typical residential access.
Yes.
Is there anything in a deed or other document that you've seen that indicates other language or gives meets and bounds or other limitations on the use?
I didn't review the title work to make that determination. I would note, just for full sake of the record, there is a note on the item that I included that says that the 30-foot wide strip of right-of-way from centerline of road is hereby dedicated to public use as per this plat. So, you know, the design of it seems to be for a residential access, but then there's a notation on it that says it's now dedicated to a public use.
That's the 30 foot from the center of Martin's Farm Road. That's the 30 foot, 30 and 30 Martin's Farm Road.
Yeah. Okay. From the center of the road. My mistake. I apologize then.
And there is no agreement between the owners of that road as to maintenance or any other.
I'm not aware, but the owners are, the here. Owner is
evidently,
here. To
evidently, there isn't.
Right. I just don't want to misrepresent anything that he might have to say.
All right, no, you can bring your
witness. Maybe if there was, you would let us
yes.
know.
Margaret? Margaret, you heard, let me make some room for you.
Okay.
You heard Councilwoman Deaver's question in terms of the history of issues with the property. Could you just kind of describe, and certainly they have a lot of the information that was presented at the planning and zoning level, but could you just kind of summarize for the council your concerns in terms of what's transpired in the past and why granting this conditional use could exponentially make that worse.
Okay. Well, the history of it is, and I appreciate that this is finally being listened to, because Mr. Williams has said that he had to go get this, but we feel grateful that somebody is finally listening to this, because this has been going on a while. Originally, there was no garage there, and I personally signed the easement agreement because we purchased the property. And the easement agreement was made at the time of the subdivision, not after the garage was built. The money was used to build the garage. And we assumed that the permit was for a garage. Now, in a letter I wrote to the county council, which you all got copies of, I did include a copy of his permit. And there also seems to be a question on the size of the building. That keeps changing. But on the permit, he absolutely asked for a pole building, 32 by 60. And he put the use as a pole building, which would that be to store poles? Because it's not for a garage. Because if he had applied for a garage of 1,820 square feet, he would have had to have a special use permit. He didn't have a special use permit. Without a special use permit, the only garage allowed in AR1 is garage private, which is described as less than 900 square feet and four cars only. Now, he keeps, the last meeting, he said he could get six cars in there comfortably. Now he can only get four cars in there comfortably.
In the garage?
Actually,
in the garage?
The county is saying he can get eight cars in there. And he put 950 square feet of additions on the building. So now the building, although it isn't all four sides at all places, the with the additions that are on, the roofs and the three-quarter buildings, he now has over 2,700 square feet. And he keeps calling it a pole building, but it is a garage, and it isn't the use in a private area. Normally, I guess you guys all live near a garage, your neighbors. What do you use your garage for? You're in a residential area. You use it to put your car in at night. You bring your car out in the day and you drive it, you put it back in at night. Oh, maybe you'll work on a car that you own maybe once a month. You might do a little tweaking or repair work, but you're not having 30 people a day come in there and all drive right into your garage.
Is that what happens?
This is what happened.
30 people a day?
Mr. Williams came to us and said, oh, he's just going to fix antique autos. We were very lenient, and we didn't think anything of it. But it soon went from a few little things here and there to six parts trucks a day. Mr. Walker was out on a Saturday one day all day and said he counted 15 cars just part of Saturday. We have verified 20 to 30 cars a day every day in a log.
Wait a minute, is that 30 cars working on a day, or is that just 30 cars?
That's
up there?
30 cars coming in and out. One day, I actually filmed a car going out for four test drives. It kept coming back. Then they'd pull the hood up, and I can't tell you how many hoods slamming outside, how many cars revving outside we have heard. It is not minimal, okay? It is a lot. And what happened is we took the time, which took a couple months, to get our information together and document this before we filed a complaint, which was filed in 2010, not 2012. That was the second complaint. The first complaint was filed in 2010. We gave the inspector memos, and they're part of this packet, memos, canceled checks of people that had worked on, I gave that to you, can I read from that?
Sure.
We gave him memos stating that Charles is not a friend of mine. They were referred to him. There's one I paid $320 to fix two cars, $120, $200, also many, many oil changes, numerous oil changes. And then there's an $800 one to p- can p- perform maintenance on a Toyota and a Mazda. Then there's another one for 120 and 200. Charles and I are not personal friends. And these canceled checks were all given to the inspector. Brake rotors, $200, $700 for leaking water in my oil, plus some other minor stuff. These are emails from people. Well, you can't change the date on an email. These were mailed in 2010. The most recent one says, I had my truck repaired by Charles twice. This is dated August 7, 2012. I paid for the parts and labor that he did. I did not repair the truck myself because I know nothing about cars and trucks. I am not a personal friend. So what happened is we started noticing many, many different cars coming in there and driving right into the garage. Some parked outside and waited to go in the garage. Most of them were leaving with an oil change. Most of them, I could time it. If I saw one come in, I'd go back to my log 3/4 of an hour later and write, yeah, it left, you know, it was 3/4 of an hour. And this got extensive. So we took this evidence and we gave it to the inspector and we filed a complaint. Now, Mr. Williams seems to be emphasizing the junkyard in the backyard. We did also complain about that. I'm not here to complain about his junkyard in the back, although there are three cars back there. And I have a picture of that. But that's minor compared to the impact of this extremely big auto repair shop. And what happened is, when we were told, and I talked to the inspector personally, he said, quote, no sign, no business. Now, we knew nothing about the code. I didn't have a lawyer. I don't have the money to buy property, but I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't know where the code could be located. I didn't know anything about the code. I thought, well, they should give us a copy, maybe, of what they're applying this. But they didn't, and I wrote letters. I wrote letters to Susan Isaacs, and I asked for a specific explanation of why he's allowed to do this. And I never received a letter in return. So I went to the people who are mostly involved, JR and some of the other neighbors, and I said, well, he's allowed to do it as long as he doesn't put up a sign. And I thought that was the truth. And I would have never even thought of saying somebody wouldn't be telling me the truth. So there was no sign. So we put up with it. We kept a log of the cars and things, thinking maybe if there's more and more traffic, maybe they'll look at it again. And I even put in my letter to Mrs. Isaacs, I said, if there's more, if it gets bigger, because I knew it would, can we come back? And I received no answer. Then in January or February of this year, a car kept pulling in with a sign. And I noticed it, but I was like not paying a lot of attention, and then we had a trespass on the property. The car came back, and it was a big truck, big dually, came back and down the driveway and backed right into JR's brand new blacktop. And it peeled out and left dents in his new blacktop. Not the right-of-way, his own private driveway. So I called Mr. Williams and I said, you have to keep your customers off of our personal property. There's been so much of the trespassing, people, cars, everything. It's like umpteen times. So I said to him, you've got to keep your customers off our property. And he said, oh, I have nothing to do with that. They're not my customers. They're Chuck Murphy's customers. I'm renting my garage to Chuck Murphy, and it's his business now, and I don't have anything to do with it. And I said, well, if you're the landlord, you certainly have something to do with people trespassing. And then I said, oh, Chuck Murphy. Well, I started doing some investigation. Sure enough, that's the truck that's coming in every day, going for lunch, week after week, at the Beach Auto Marine. He's bringing all his customers over from Oak Orchard. Now the business doubled. What we had seen before, all of a sudden now Chuck Murphy's towing vehicles in. Chuck Murphy's there every day. he's working on cars in the back, and I think one of the pictures has one of the cars in the back of the garage being worked on outside. Cars are now being worked on outside. I have pictures of him examining vehicles with their hoods up outside. Mr. Williams himself. So this is what happened. It multiplied. Well, now we went to planning and zoning. We think we've got a feather in our cap. We got checks. We got signs. We got testimony. You can depose these people. We have proof. There's a business going on over here. And sure enough, it just kept going on. So then I went to the county constable. And it still kept going on. The garage work still kept going on. And I thought, what do we need to prove? And at that time, the Board of Adjustment, I thought it was you guys, but it was the Board of Adjustment was hearing the soup kitchen. And I was reading the articles on the soup kitchen. And I read that it was a free thing. And I thought, why did we have to have canceled checks? Why did we have to have a big sign? The soup lady was denied because, and I quote the newspaper, so I'm not sure if I'm perfect here, but it was denied because it was too much like a restaurant. And so it was a restaurant use. And I went, restaurant use when you aren't taking credit cards? And I thought, I need to read the code. So I called the constable and I said, I need to read this code. I don't understand this. What's going on here? So she said, you can find the code at E code 360. And when I went in there, it was like a revelation. It was the use of the building. The code doesn't even address if somebody's getting checks. Because at that time, I wrote to the constable, I said, this is getting harder and harder to prove because now he will accept nothing but cash. People are telling us he won't accept checks anymore. He's accepting only cash. Well, somebody could be running a restaurant, a full-scale restaurant. But if they take the people back in the kitchen to collect the money, how would you know it was a business? You know it's a business by the serving of food, the eating of food, the preparing of food. We know this is auto repair because of the professional lifts, the professional equipment, the cars running in and out, the cars going straight into the garage, and all kinds of cars. So many that his friends couldn't possibly own that many cars. He gets up and says, oh, this guy owns five. Oh, I probably saw those five all in one day. Maybe them and all their friends. And then as long as he calls them friends, he can have anybody use that garage anytime, bring any vehicle in there, because they're called a friend. And I can't prove they're a customer because the money's now under the table. It's the use of the building. It's the use that is counting.
So you would be concerned even if the council granted something, as the applicant was stating, and we even limited it to like two cars at a time, there's just no way we can enforce it, which I tend to agree with you. Who knows what car is what and who's doing what? So that's your contention is basically
even
that wouldn't be acceptable either, right? Just
I don't think so because
like
he has minimized everything that has been going on. And that picture I have of the car out front revving its engine, I don't stand there. That's my little camera. I don't stand there and watch him. I hear the noise, and then I go and see what's happening. That's how I knew that revved up engine and that muffler and everything was being revved up and fixed. He says, oh, they were just looking at it. Well, if that was true, then why would they ever go in the garage? I mean, almost 90% of the cars go right into the garage. And they're in for a limited time, and then we hear zzz, 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 and that's five lugs on every wheel. Five lugs on every wheel. That's 20. That's 20 zip, zip, zips.
Do it again.
And then
I think the transcriptionist is going to have a tough time with that.
And then he has to put those wheels back on after he rotates them. And I mean, this is constant. And the compressor, I don't know, you people maybe not don't have much experience with compressors, but believe me, they are not quiet.
I think we get the point.
They are not quiet.
I think we get the point.
And we hear this all day long.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for my client?
No, I think she's
okay.
She did a great
I got a question for Shane. Shane, when you get a permit to put a building on a residential AR1 property, is there, what are the restrictions for an individual coming in and getting a garage?
Depends on what type of building. The pole barn could be any size. It could be for agricultural use.
Well, if he's on a size of property of this, which obviously he's not, any, it's not a farm, would there have been limitations on somebody on a piece of property this size? Does our ordinance address that? Do you know ever at all?
It makes reference to garages more than 900 square feet and four bays or four doors.
But for pole buildings,
there's
none.
There's no limit. Now, is this considered a pole barn with the way it's enclosed and shut, you know, and built?
I haven't been to the site.
You haven't been to the site. Okay, we'll have to get a report. Yeah, I would like to get a report from Mrs. Isaac. It sounds like she's been brought up.
Are uses described if when you have a pole, don't you have to say what the use is? I remember we had a health club start up in a pole building, and it wasn't okay. But I mean, that's not part of it.
There's a section on the permit, building permit, what the use, the proposed use is for, yes.
Okay.
But obviously, this is not an agricultural property, and there's no way that they didn't even put down agricultural use, but.
I've not seen a copy of the permit either.
Okay, I got you. Okay, we'll look at it. We can't do any action on it anyway. We'll look into that kind of stuff.
Right.
Could I just say something about some of the things that were said about me? I must have been sitting back there with my mouth open. For one thing, I've never made an agreement with anyone to buy anything. I don't have any money left. I spent it and gave it to Mr. Williams. I don't have any more money. I didn't agree to buy property from anyone, okay? As far as this guy that says he moved in with Charles and he believes that you should have the right to do with whatever you want with your property, that's only good to a certain degree.
We've heard that all.
But I also want to say something about the letters. He has accused me personally of sending out, I did send out one letter to Hilda, telling her that if she had ever wanted to subdivide her property, a residential use is not compatible with a commercial, but I did not say it's a zoning change. I said that it would hurt her selling her property. The other thing is, I didn't even write the letters, but I have them with me. And not one letter that anybody signed has anything about a zoning change on it. Because I have the entire pack of letters here I can give you right now to look at, and not one letter says zoning change on it. People read these very carefully before we asked them to sign. A lot of people wrote their own letters. Nowhere on it did it say that. But I do want to point out to you the last one you got from Mr. Corwick, who rescinded his original support. And the reason he did it is Mr. Williams lied to him and said that this was only for personal use. And he said he came to the meeting with Mr. Williams, he came to the Planning and Zoning Committee, and he personally told me that when he heard that mechanics were going to be hired, that it was going to be 11 hours a day, it changed now. It was originally it was 12 hours a day, then it went to 11, and now I guess it's 10. But he said when he heard it was going to be 11 hours a day and 6 days a week, he knew it wasn't just personal use. And he said he can't support that anymore. So there has been misrepresentation, I think.
We have that letter. Thank you.
But yes. We have been very careful to explain to people that this is for an auto repair garage. I personally do apologize for calling it a C1 use, but the reason
matter. Most people interpret it that way when a novice or a person who's not used to what we do
commercial
would consider it to be that way.
But my other thing is my car never has gone past JR's garage. My car has never, ever been in Mr. Williams' garage because that was my one rule. Anything my name is on never goes over to his property. Now, if other people took things over,
I'll just straighten that out.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Mr. Thompson.
Wait till the Dr. Phil show to get that part.
Thank you, counsel, for your patience.
Did you have any other witnesses?
Thank you very much.
I do not. I only am representing Ms. Bull. There might be other opposition, but I don't represent them.
Thank you.
Okay. If there is anyone else, if you come forward, if there are multiple witnesses, if you're right ready to come, one after the other like we did before. I will again reiterate as much as possible, please do not repeat something that was said by someone else. If you want to say ditto, you know, to that on the noise or whatever, that's fine.
My name is Robert Walker Jr., 19829 Summer Place. I own the property directly in front of Mr. Williams. One thing I want to let you know right away is in the deed, I am responsible for the 265 feet of the driveway. I have to pay for it. So if any damage is done, I'm the one that's responsible. Now my house only goes, I believe, about 90 feet back, so I'm only driving on one bit of the property. So therefore, the extra 75 feet is not, I'm not really driving on, you know, people may turn around or something like that, but any kind of heavy traffic flow that could be, you know, if it is two cars an hour, if it's one car an hour, it's still an extra 20 people driving up and down. I'd say about 8 months ago, roughly, there was heavy traffic, a lot of speeding on the driveway. I had a roommate at the time. The room is right against where the driveway comes across, or the easement. I came home from work, and he was just laughing. I asked him what he was laughing about, and he said, "How many cars drive past here a day?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, there's cars up and down the driveway all day long." So, you know, that's when we kind of started to pay attention to what was going on. The other couple things are, you know, I bought this house, or my father helped me buy this house. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford the loan. We moved down here because I loved the area. I wanted to live in a quiet space with no noise, basically.
So did I. But it changed.
I'm not gonna sit up here and defame Mr. Williams. It has nothing to do with that. I'm more worried about the people that are driving up and down. My girlfriend and I just had a baby on Wednesday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Once she gets older, if you grant the use, there's no fencing around the yard. It's a giant open field, basically. So that kind of takes away my backyard. I can't really have her running around the backyard with people coming up and down the driveway that don't know that there's a child there. I mean, we've all have kids, so you know how they can wander off. I don't know any of these people. I've never met any of Mr. Williams' friends, except for like maybe one or two, I think, in passing. And I respect all the people that came here to talk on his behalf, but I'm the one that lives directly in front of it. I'm there every day. I see what goes on. Like Mr. Williams has said, I had a group of people pull their car in, back it into my yard, get out, wander around, their kids were running around. If somebody gets hurt on my property, now that's my fault, I'm assuming. They can sue me if they get injured, or like if a dog would bite them or something. If something happens on my property, I'm assuming that I'm the one responsible for it. Well, I didn't invite these people here. You know, once Mr. Williams came, when I went out to say something, Mr. Williams came by and they got in their car and they drove up to the garage. I've had people speeding up and down, like I've mentioned. I've had an ex-girlfriend of mine would sunbathe in the backyard, and there was five guys just standing there on Mr. Williams' property, just staring at her, to where she was so uncomfortable, she went inside the house and said something to me. When I said something to Mr. Williams, he just, well, men will be men. Understandably, I get that, but that doesn't mean that one of them is not a sex offender, or, you know, a thief, or, you know, will try to assault us at night. I'm more worried about my family and the situation that this will put us in than anything else.
You own the lane then, right? You own the lane to his property?
Yes.
Is what you stated.
I'm responsible for.
It's on your property,
yes.
Right? It's on your deed.
It's yes, it's on
your
the deed.
Okay, but so you own the. Okay.
Yeah.
He
has the right of way.
He has a right to get back to his property, right? Would you ever consider giving him permission to make any improvements to the entrance for, so if he had a business back there or anything, but you wouldn't entertain the thought, right?
No.
Okay.
It's too much of a hit on my property value. The house is expensive. I live in a beautiful house. I love my house.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to sell it, I'm not going to take a $50,000 pay cut because Mr. Williams wants a garage to hire mechanics and stuff.
Well, it seems there might have been some intent early on that because the size of his pole barn is so big compared mm-hmm. to Ted's bigger than his house.
Mm-hmm.
It seems.
Okay. Did you have anything else, sir?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Thank you.
Please.
Hello, my name's Robert Walker. I live in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. The reason I'm here is, as JR said, they just had a daughter. I heard of speed bumps being put in. You can take 2,000 cars down a road and they'll go over that speed bump. You have one car decide to go around that speed bump, and a little girl standing in the yard. I don't want that. We bought this house for him to raise a family. A commercial garage and a 10-foot driveway. A 10-foot driveway. You can't pass two cars on a 10-foot driveway.
That's been established, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They go, many a time I've pulled in, cars have went around on his grass. Not just Mr. Williams, but JR's friends. It's a 10-foot driveway. We put a $18,000 or $20,000 drip system in. Not a sand mound. So my grandchildren and JR and myself could go out and play. That we have a nice flat backyard. Mr. Williams' garage, I'm sorry, I don't see how this can even happen or how he can even think about letting this happen. I just want to thank you for your time, but just one car goes around the speed bump or decides to drive, not pay attention, texting, doing whatever, and there's a little girl and a boy standing in the yard along the edge of the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else, sir?
Good afternoon, Sussex County Council and Attorney. My name is Paul Holton, H-O-L-T-O-N, and I live at 27567 Martins Farm Road and retired. I thought Mr. Raley owned all these properties in 1980, and he all made them into like 5.5 to 6 acre lots, as you can see on your plot. I live down the street, and when I bought my property, I built a nice house. I'm from Baltimore County. I'm sure a lot of people here. I retired from General Motors there, and I come here and built a house. And Mr. Raley sold all them lots with deeds that said one dwelling per 5.5 acres. Y'all go down that road right now, there's 3-4 houses illegal. There's cars, there's businesses. Some of these guys that testified for Mr. Williams have businesses that they run out of their home, but they're not running them at their house. They cause no extra traffic. They cause no noise problems. I ain't going to go into the noise problem and the traffic. One of the biggest problems we have on Martins Farm Road in traffic is the beach people. They come from Route 5, go all the way to Rehoboth back in the back roads.
Fancy what they do.
That's exactly what they do. So our traffic is way heavier than the first day I built my house. So you're talking about more traffic? Yeah, we need more traffic. You're talking about, do we have police officers back there? Yes, we do, because we have a bad traffic problem with the two curves I live on one. and there's very bad accidents, and most of them ain't the people that travel that road normally. Another thing is, I guess I got the biggest house on the lot, so I pay $1,881.73. This mechanic, or whatever it is, I can't say it's a business, I don't live next to him, but I pay the highest on the block, and I don't want nothing behind me, nothing. And I wouldn't even let it go this long. But if this goes through, do I get my taxes deducted smaller because he pays less than $300? Tell me that. I mean, that's a question that I'm going to ask later. But also, like the businesses in the area, they bother nobody. Gunshots, it's all hunting property back there. The three of them gentlemen back there hunt on my 3 acres. They most of the lots are 2 acres clear, 3.5 in the woods. We don't care if they hunt, as long as they hunt safe. As long as if they work with a kid, that the kid has hunter safety, that's all we're asking. I'm sure this lady here didn't really need an attorney. Zip, zip, zip. And I wouldn't want to zip, zip, zip either. Like I'm saying, the biggest thing, my problem is, I don't live next to the gentleman. I don't know the gentleman. I don't want it in my backyard. And I appreciate if you work this out the best way for the community and the traffic.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. The next person, please.
I'm going to have to leave.
My name's Louis Capano. I live on Shady Rest Lane, 19447 Shady Rest Lane. I'm Mr. Hayes' neighbor. Now, the difference with the Mr. Hayes and Mr. Williams is Mr. Hayes owns the whole 4-point-some acres, and he's not infringing on anybody's property. And number two, he does very little work. You'll hardly ever know he's there. I never know he's there. I live 1,200 feet from him. I don't know anything about Mr. Williams. I do know that he's running at a garage there. I don't think it's good for our area. I've lived there for over 26 years, and I've built a nice place back there, and I hate to see its value go down from where it is. And I think it would go down. That's okay. All I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Marlene Henry, 27177 Martins Farm Road. I'm objecting to this because I feel apathy with the people that have the problem. I wouldn't want that person to have a business beside me. I live by myself. I feel very comfortable. And I really don't see that he can't do it someplace else. The way I feel, it isn't the place for what he wants to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Carol and John Kane from 20123 Featherbed Lane. That's two lots west of the garage and across the street. We've been here 16 years, bought and built in an AR1 because we wanted to live in a quiet residential area. Conditional use to run a business in an AR1 should not be granted when the business does not even meet the basic requirements for a commercial district. General Code of Sussex County describes the business district generally located along major arterial roadways. Martins Farm Road is a neighborhood road with no center line, no shoulders. General Code also says business should be located in a place where general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists. This is not Martins Farm Road. Allowing this type of business in our area would adversely affect and impact the surrounding properties and decrease property values. The zoning laws should never be changed when such a large number of residents will be negatively affected. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Carol Kane, same address, 20123 Featherbed Lane. I do have some pictures, but I only, unfortunately, made five copies. Right. Didn't
That's
know
fine.
That other people.
They're the five that vote, so.
We don't want to waste paper.
I object to the conditional use applications for the reasons that were allocated by my neighbors, the traffic, the noise, the pollution, loss of property value, but I also have additional reasons. Mr. Williams built a 1,800 square foot building that holds eight vehicles. He said it holds eight vehicles. I know he keeps changing it from four to six and back and forth. There are other repair shops within 3 miles of Martins Farm Road. There's actually five of them along Route 9, east and west. Mr. Williams applied for a building permit for a pole building, which he said was for a pole building. He never even put what the use was for. He has now converted this building to an automotive repair shop. Does Mr. Williams have a building permit for this type of building? And specifically, I object because the purpose of an AR1 agricultural residential district is to, quote, provide for low density, single family, residential development, together with such churches, recreation facilities, and accessories uses that may be necessary or are normally compatible with a residential surrounding, end quote. The conditional use application is neither necessary nor compatible with the residential neighborhood and is thus inconsistent with the purpose of the AR Agriculture Residential District as defined in Chapter 115, Section 119 of the Zoning Ordinance for Sussex County. I urge you to deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? And you're the last one? not as much as we.
Council, my name's George Dufresne, and I live at 27331 Martin Farm Road. I live with Margaret Folk. Last time I spoke, I got in trouble. So I'm going to read exactly word for word.
Well trained.
This is the worst location along Martin Farm Road for this type of business. This is not a hobby business. At 11 hours a day and 6 days a week, most auto repair businesses are not open this much. Besides, the sign says inside, repair shop. Mr. Williams also says that the motorcycles Margaret and I ride spook the horses more than towed vehicles. The motorcycles do not go out back by the barn at all, and they do not go out every day. We only take them out maybe once or twice a week. The motors on the bikes are only on for a couple seconds before we leave. The motorcycle engines do not run 11 hours a day. We also do not mow our lawn and make other noise every day, but the noise from this business is every day and all day. There are no other noises in the neighborhood that are constant, and no other properties in the neighborhood draw any additional traffic to the neighborhood. Only the owner's vehicles go in and out, and most of them only have one. This building being used by Mr. Wilson the way, like, this building should be used by Mr. Wilson the way any garage would be used in a residential area to store vehicles registered to him. Thank you very much. Please deny.
Thank you.
Good job.
And is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing in this matter. And if there's, and without objection, then we could
Mrs. Isaac, there was reference that she had, you know, been out to this property before. I'm just curious about, you know, what maybe a report just for us, not to leave it open for the general public, but I wouldn't mind looking, asking Mrs. Isaac
to,
I know, give us a report on what her impressions were on things.
But in any case, we've got problems.
Yeah, we have to do that. But I didn't want to close the record without hearing from Mrs. Isaac. I think that's
okay.
It made it look like the county wasn't doing something, and I want to make sure that the county's people are doing their job.
So you want to leave it open?
Close
the public hearing is definitely closed at this point, and the public record be open for report from staff comments at planning and zoning.
And have you determined that we need more information on the road or not?
Well, that is a general question. The easement issue. We should probably have some information on that before we make a decision on that. That's
from the legal counsel.
That's
from
staff.
That's all staff.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Make a motion. We defer.
We move to defer.
Do you want me to make a motion to defer?
Motion, Mrs. Deemer. Second, Mr. Cole, to defer. Any questions on the motion?
Take your vote, Ms. Dever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillip.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried. Entertained a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? Take your vote, Ms. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillip.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, we are in adjournment.
Bye.